The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio today on this February Sunday, and it's going to be a little different because, as you can tell, Dr. Rozell is not here with us, and I don't have to do it alone, so it's great. Today we're going to be talking about not exclusion, but something that's very interesting as far as looking at health from a slightly different perspective, and what obstacles to cure do we see as practitioners, but also what do we see that women experience. So we're going to talk about women's medicine and the challenges that are around it, more so than just, you know, what would you talk to about with your gynecologist, but essentially just health in general. Where do we see there being flaws into the system? Where do we see this as more people look and graduate towards using holistic medicine as well, too. The good thing is, like I said, I don't have to do it alone while Dr. Rozell's out of the office. So I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, and I'm here with Dr. Jennifer Sims of Blue Sky Health and Wellness. Good morning.
I think it's good afternoon.
Oh, we always have this debate.
Good afternoon. I'm excited to be here today.
So we're gonna tackle this great issue. I couldn't think of a better co-host. The women are taking over the studio. But don't forget that you can always call in too, so we're here to answer your questions as well too, or even if you have a comment. The number here is 888-630-9625. Again, that's number 888-630-9625. Okay, we're gonna really get this going in a second. And then quickly before you go, in case you heard Dr. Rozell talking with Dareth Painter, a couple weeks ago, the thermography class, the in-house education class, which is free, which we can actually bring into this topic as well later on, visualizing pain through thermography, was actually rescheduled to this Wednesday, February 27th at 7 p.m. So if you didn't get a chance to sign up last time and you want to still get a chance to see this excellent presentation, you can call the office. You can also sign up online. So if you missed it last week because of the wonderful snowstorm that hit us, she's going to be presenting at this week, 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing. So you can always call the office at 603-781-2288. That's not the right number. 703-698-7117. And then you can also sign up online. So Dr. Jen, you have made a career basically of treating men and women and their children as well too, but really like to focus more towards women's medicine and kind of their families and children as well too. When we started to talk about this before the show, where do you feel like women's medicine has progressed from, but then also where do you feel like some of the challenges may stem from as well too?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question, Dr. Pina. to speak to the challenges, I think there's a lot. I think that women in general have so many titles and responsibilities and roles, and the stresses that come with those things are definitely affecting health. I do think as far as healthcare goes, the access to information is insane, right? I know you and I are of the era of there was really no internet, and we would have to go and to the library, write our papers in college, and, you know, now you can look up anything. There's so much data available. So there's so many avenues resources to find good doctors, to research, you know, good, healthy options, alternatives to medicine. So I think that, with that also comes confusion of trying to find the right type of practitioner to work with, trying to figure out who the best person is going to help you with whatever health issues that you have going on. But as far as women in general, we have a lot to deal with.
We were talking about the caregiver, the multitasker, mm-hmm. quite possibly the person who may be making the healthcare decisions for the rest of the family.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be that way, obviously, but the person who really has to put everyone else first, and then the care for them often tends to be maybe secondary nature. And then when we obviously talk about treating structural, chemical, mental, emotional, do they present with one side of that and not think about the other side? Because I think we definitely present like that because we've got so many things going on, whether you have children or you don't have children, whether you have a support system or not, we're always go, go, go. And that can be anybody. But I think women in particular too, we have so many different transition periods in our life, whether that's puberty, fertility years, menopause, perimenopause, and then above. We have so much chemically going on there that's where a lot of the focus tends to be. And we were talking about the fact that, like, with fertility patients, so let's just give them more estrogen and progesterone and market it that way. And that might have a time and place, but let's see what's really going on individually with this particular person in front of us first.
Right.
And kind of try to address the stressors, address why this person's not getting pregnant. If we're always stressed, it's not exactly therapeutic or for survival ideas. Getting pregnant is not the best way to survive either. So does that fall into our fertility issues that we're having now? What's your thoughts on, like, when women come in, are they coming in to discuss similar topics as they used to, or has that started to change over the last couple of years?
I think the topics really haven't changed much. It's not enough hours in the day to get everything done. I think the awareness has definitely grown that they should start looking into their symptoms and not ignoring them. And to speak to the stress, you know, stress is not always a negative thing. It was designed in us as human beings, as animals, for a reason, right? To get away from that lion, that tiger, that thing. And I think that it has its place, and it's also a signal to tell us something is wrong. And as a female, going to a doctor and being told, well, you're just stressed out, is a bit insulting. Because really, who living right now isn't in some capacity stressed out? That doesn't mean that you don't have a health problem. It doesn't mean that you're a hypochondriac. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It means it can add a different layer to that. It can be a bit more complicated to treat if the body's constantly in a fight or flight response. But it certainly doesn't negate the fact that they actually may have an autoimmune problem, a thyroid problem, a viral problem, a digestive problem, something that can actually develop into a pathology, but is still being dismissed. So as far as we've come in medicine, we've kind of not come so far because it's still, you're just a stressed person.
And I feel like one of the times too, when I see patients in the office too, especially their women, they're looking for that. What's beyond what I've already done.
Right.
So they might have the labs and the images and everything that they said, here's what it is. A lot of times they're coming in on the medications that are prescribed for it. But when they're looking at that holistic model of really looking at where's the cause, where's the beginning of it, tell me your story. And that's what I feel like has been kind of silenced for so long, that we really need to hear everyone's story. And that's how you really come up with an individualized plan. So that's not, you're supposed to fit into A, B, and C. And, you know, you can only have one thing at a time. So we're going to address one thing at a time. We were talking earlier about multiple layers of stuff. And does one thing like autoimmune diseases mean that there's possibly something else as well, too? So I think from where we're coming from, holistic practitioners, people are kind of searching us out because they feel like they can tell us their story. This is what I've done. And so they're part of that healthcare team. So like we're part of their healthcare family, basically, instead of it just being the physician and the patient.
And I think it's good that you specifically use the language story. So I know in your practice and in mine, we do take a history, and I always tell my patients when they come in, okay, I know that you're coming in for X, Y, and Z. I got that. I know that. However, we're going to go backwards, and then we're going to lead up to what's going on now, because that story somewhere in there is going to give us clues as to maybe the why. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the why is not important, but it can give us clues as to going, okay, maybe this is where the beginning of the breakdown started. You know, what can we do to fix that? What can we do to, give a different alternative, or in some cases, be an adjunct to the care that they're getting. Some people come in on medication, and as much as I don't love that, sometimes they need to be on them for a short period of time. And sometimes knowing, okay, well, if there was a glitch here, maybe we can enhance your immune system or your body's production of whatever it is by taking a supplement, changing your diet, adding in too, instead of taking away. And that's a whole nother conversation. I think, you know, when you go the holistic route, the first thing people do are, oh my God, they're going to tell me I can't eat or do anything I want to do. I can't.
There goes all the bread.
There goes all the wine, the coffee. Oh my God. Right. And so I've learned that sometimes it's better to start adding in. Mm-hmm. And then as the body gets stronger, then it's not going to maybe want those other things. So it's not so much a withdrawal of, you can't have this because this is why you're sick.
We want it even more sometimes.
Oh my God, it's our defiance
to say, like, I'm going to show you that I can be healthy by eating, you know, the Burger King diet every single day and,
right.
you know, and not getting any more sleep like you told me to and staying up and running around and stuff. And I think we see that a lot because, one, it's going back to our survival.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a chance to prepare these meals and eat on my own and make my own foods, or I don't know how to do it and what's available to us. I need to work that second, third job. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to skip out sleep because I've always been fine with 3 hours a night. How's that going to affect me? We see these different roles and different professions as well, too, men and women, right? Like, we have teachers that come in all the time, and unfortunately, they're given 20 minutes to eat lunch over their whole course of a day, and maybe they're lucky if they go to the bathroom. So is that over time going to add up? So a lot of times we have them come in before, you know, Christmas break ends and before the summer break ends because their body has now adjusted to a completely different schedule. And now they're going, nope, you're going to eat 20 minutes during this time. You're not going to be able to leave your desk. You can't drink water because you're afraid to go to the bathroom. So we see that not only with certain professions, but I think we definitely see that in women's medicines too. There's so much restrictions that how are we supposed to survive? How can we breathe during that? So talking about women's medicines, the challenge and different conditions of, you know, why are we seeing more women have issues now? Why do women seem to be like they're sicker and sicker each time? We're going to keep covering that here on the radio show, but we're going to go to the phones real quickly. And Charles, thanks for holding. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call, and good morning, doctors. I'm 70 years old, and I know about a little bit about the history. And I want to go back 4.5 weeks ago. I was involved in an automobile accident, and I was rear-ended. I left the accident physically with no problems. 2.5 weeks after that, I started working at a distribution center where things from as small as a napkin and to as large as a refrigerator would come in. So it was a warehouse situation of moving things around. And last Monday, I went to get up and get out of the bed, and I couldn't. Both sides of my groin were just pulling and hurting tremendously. The middle of my stomach below my navel was just killing me. Presently, I'm walking with a crutch. I've been to a hospital. I went to see them. They gave me some pain medication. That has not worked. So I'm calling you to find out, I got an acupuncturist issue that maybe can help me, or chiropractic, but I have to do something because the pain is just tremendous.
Okay. We're going to end up going to a break real quick, so I want you to hold on. We got a couple of seconds here, but then just hold on. We're going to keep answering your questions when we get back. But I definitely think so far as, one, you've got some of the issues where they've kind of done examinations and really tried to see, kind of started to rule out things. So the fact that you're paying attention to the fact that it's getting worse and it's still there definitely leads room for other types of treatments like chiropractic and acupuncture. Hold on just a second, Charles. We're going to be back to you in just a couple of minutes, and we'll be back and answering all your questions also about women's medicine and the challenges that we have to face dealing with it going into the future. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina. I'm licensed acupuncturist and naturopath at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And I'm also here with Dr. Jennifer Sims from Blue Sky Health and Wellness. And we were just taking Charles's phone call. Charles, are you still there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, thank you for holding. I'm just going to reiterate what we were talking about before. So there was an accident about a month ago, and then got everything checked out. They gave you some pain meds, I think, after this groin pull started about 2 weeks ago, and it sounds like you kind of started a pretty heavy-duty job in the meantime.
Right.
So definitely kind of looking at the structural issues on there, and I'm going to let Dr. Jen kind of talk about that, and then we'll kind of go back to some other issues afterwards. So, Dr.
Okay.
Jen?
Yeah, so you said you did go to the hospital. Did they even do any imaging or just...
Yeah, they took an MRI. At first, they told me... they told me they were going to take an MRI because they were not sure whether it was something that may have been herniated or something like
sure.
that. and they took the MRI and it came back negative. There was nothing herniated or nothing like that.
Okay, well that's great news. So if it's a true groin pull, unfortunately they can take a little bit of time to heal. But definitely acupuncture would be something I would look into. Chiropractic for sure. Maybe some soft tissue work. And you really shouldn't be lifting probably at this point. Something to think about is the psoas muscle, which is one of the muscles that we're talking about with the groin or is a core stabilizer. And so if those muscles aren't firing very well, then your back is doing more work muscular wise than should be. And that's probably why you're getting the pain. So I don't know if you're wearing any kind of support, a belt, but given your brief history and what we know about you, I would think lifting would probably be off the table for a bit until you got this treated.
I'm not doing anything because, like I said, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm with a crutch, and I was going to come into Dr. Rossell's office or find out what method I could, something could happen because I have to have something happen. I almost feel like I'm close to being handicapped.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a feeling too, like where you went back and did this job work right after so soon, even though everything looks fine when they were looking at it right after, it doesn't mean that the body didn't go through some kind of injury, some kind of impact. And so even this could have been, everything was fine if you were doing the job without the accident and all of a sudden it just triggered it. So now it's like your body's on this pathway of inflammation and says, what's the next spot? So I would definitely say, you know, if you're taking the time to heal, come in and see us and we can definitely talk, go over everything. And I would bring in some of the imaging if you have a copy of it too, so that we can take a look at it and see if we see anything else as well too. So thank you for calling in and give us a call over at the office, 703-698-7117. Happy to speak with you over there. Chiropractic, acupuncture, like Dr. Jen was saying, making sure there's support there. So the body has a chance to heal as well too. So it basically had two big impacts, and that might be why everything looks normal on page, on images. Everything looks normal on labs, but clearly there's something else going on underlying. Perfect for leading into what we were talking about is when things present differently than what they're supposed to by the book, the way we learned it in medical school, how do we deal with that? Because we know, especially with women's medicine and say heart disease and heart issues, first of all, 1/3 of women were even put into a lot of these medical studies on heart attacks. So, and then they didn't report everything based off of sex. So we don't know what's the difference. They get discharged earlier from the emergency room. And a lot of times they're getting misdiagnosed and they're being discharged while they're in the process of having a heart attack. What do we see concern-wise, especially with cardiovascular health? Because women are coming in saying, oh, okay, it's usually the men that are dying quicker. They're the ones that have the bigger strokes. But the women kind of don't go in. They kind of say, I have a little bit of this issue, but not much. What's our thoughts from a practitioner standpoint on women and heart disease, where they're basically overlooked as far as what signs and symptoms they should be looking for?
I have one word for you, and it's called anxiety. Women come in telling you they have anxiety, and it's a loaded gun because anxiety can present many ways, and it can be assumed that they're having a panic attack or an anxiety problem, but it could actually be the symptoms of a heart attack, the irregular heartbeats, the dizziness, a little bit of, you know, feeling disoriented, sometimes having arm pain, sometimes not having arm pain, sometimes feeling like your lips may be going a little bit numb. And all of those things by themselves can be kind of like, oh, well, you're under stress. Oh, maybe you're having an allergic reaction to some topical product you put on your skin.
Your makeup.
You know, like, so you as a female, you're going, oh, okay, well, now I'm just overthinking. And in fact, you can have multiple symptoms prior to having a cardiac event that you've been having for a long time and just dismiss them. So I really don't like the way that we've gotten to a place where anxiety is just like, it's not taken seriously. And it can be a precursor for something more serious. Your body's giving you this increased heart rate or stomach issues or dizziness or whatever that is for a reason.
Right.
It's going, hey, listen to me. Something's not right. That's the way I look at it.
And women can also present with fatigue as well with that, or different symptoms every time. So that's what makes it even more interesting to tell your story to your practitioner and make them involved so they'll actually know maybe there isn't something going on. You might say you're feeling fine, but there might not be. We're going to be back after this break. Feel free to give us a call in. We're talking about women's medicine and the challenges they face here live on the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live Show.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live Show. We are live in studio here taking your questions, talking about what women need to know about health, how they're feeling about their health, and also I wanted to remind you that you just heard the thermography commercial, so it made it easy for me to say, remember that the thermography visualizing pain throughout thermography presented by Dareth Painter, the free health educational lecture, is going to be live in-house this Wednesday to make up for the snowstorm from last week. So you still have a chance, if you couldn't make it last week, to come in here and basically see that great demonstration. And what's interesting is, you know, a lot of times they're using thermography to look at the whole body or a region of interest to look for different types of inflammation responses, changes in temperatures and stuff. And she's going to go through the basics of it and also give you some examples of what we've seen also in the office as well too. But one of those things for women has really been looking at breast cancer screenings, when to use them for women who possibly either don't want to have mammography or they're looking for other options as well too. How do you use thermography as a screening role? So if you're definitely interested in trying to do that, you can sign up online. You can go to rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com. Or you can call the office as well to reserve your spot. We want to know how many people are coming, especially in case Dareth does any demonstrations. She wants to know who's coming in. She's been notorious to do that too. But essentially, you can sign up online as well too. But you can call the office at 703-698-7117 and reserve your spot for this interesting topic on thermography. Speaking of thermography and looking at inflammation from a visual standpoint and then leading off of when we just talked about cardiovascular disease and the fact that things may not present the way that they are reported or the way we think they're going to present for women's medicine, we look at inflammation from chronic diseases and acute diseases a little bit differently. But when women come in, do they always seem to give you all the signs and symptoms of inflammation or that they're presenting with what they're walking in and saying, this is my chief complaint?
I think in some aspects they are. You know, if basically inflammation is a way that your body lets you know that something's not doing well, there's usually a histamine response. There's usually pain. There could be a skin outbreak. There can be certain things that are pretty cardinal red flags to me that go, okay, this person's in a chronic state of inflammation. Maybe they have constant diarrhea. Right? Or maybe they're chronically constipated. We know that their bowels aren't moving. So they're giving us this litany of symptoms. And in my brain, I'm going, this is an inflamed person. Maybe their joints always hurt. Maybe they can't get up and, you know, they don't feel better until they start walking around in the morning. Whatever the case may be, I think that they are, but they're not seeing it as inflammation. They're seeing it as, oh, I'm having this particular symptom.
Right. So the digestive issue would be a digestive issue, and that's what I'm coming
right.
in for, versus maybe it's telling you that there's inflammation through the rest of the body, and maybe that's why your allergies are getting worse.
Exactly.
And that's why your headache's getting worse,
right.
and that connection. So definitely when we're looking at patients from a holistic model, we're kind of trying to piece put those pieces together, basically. I always say, like, if there's inflammation too, or even chronic, we're talking about chronic stress again, like in anxiety, the body will almost kind of always find that weak spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't healing correctly before, so why can heal correctly now? And so it says, let me give you another symptom. Let's do this again.
Right, because you're not hearing me,
right.
So I'm gonna scream a little bit louder. And it's funny, just to touch on allergies. I mean, we're going into allergy season. People who have allergies are people who are inflamed, and it's usually from a digestive place. That's where it's coming from, but everyone looks at it symptomatically, and we're looking at, you know, sinuses.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we going to give to get rid of that, you know, mucus and scratchy throat and red eyes? But no one's looking at, well, why?
Right.
So.
And in this particular area in the DMV, what's been interesting going into what seems like allergy season is earlier and earlier each year, right? We can't say, oh, this is when the cherry blossom festival is, because usually they have it set for one day and it's already happened. But what's interesting is where our weather for the winter has been so hot, cold, hot, cold. Kind of the cold and flu symptoms that present really well, they've really presented as like severe allergy on tax.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting congested. They're getting
sinus throat. Infections. Right.
And so what's that going to do leading into an allergy season where they already know, oh, I have springtime allergies, if that's the weakened system already?
Right.
So we definitely kind of see that. With women, obviously, when they're going to see an OBGYN and they're basically trying to, you know, keep up with their annual exams, although annual exams are not what annual exams used to be. They said, if you're fine for 2 or 3 years, we'll see you then. We won't see you back again. But there's so much transition. I mean, think about it. We transition monthly. If we're still menstruating, every single month something's going on. There's always a biochemical change. We are transitioning if there's pregnancy. Now, there's changes all the time, especially at the beginning. So we see all these hormonal changes that, you know, talk about back pain, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, everything that comes along with this. And then, especially with pregnancy, once we give birth, too, and you've seen this also from new moms and also their children that they're bringing in, now you have more of an increased caregiver role, but now you're supporting two people at the same time. I mean, that's going to definitely play a role on different types of healthcare conditions that come up afterwards.
Yeah, so one thing I notice a lot of people will come in with they think is digestive pain, and it's actually not digestive pain. It's ovarian pain. And so to speak to the whole gynecological route, which can be a whole other topic in and of itself, oftentimes once we've ruled out, okay, this isn't coming from your low back, they need to go get that sonogram to figure out really where the problem is. So I think that I know Dr. Rizal has always talked about the muscle-organ relationship and how just because you have pain in your elbow doesn't mean it's coming from your elbow, mm-hmm. right? It could be coming from somewhere else. Same with women's health. And it can get confusing, and you can miss some significant things. And to speak to the caregiver portion of that comment, we know they've done study upon study. Caregivers are the people who are most beaten up. Their roles don't end when it turns 5 o'clock. You know, not if you have kids, you're going to be in that caregiver role. But many people don't have kids, but maybe they're taking care of a sick relative or family member, and it doesn't end. Their immune system doesn't get a break. Their body never gets a break. And those people usually actually have a shorter lifespan and get sicker because they can't continue at that pace forever. So there's so many facets to how women are wired and how we tend to do things like we talked about multitasking. Not that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just what we do.
Right.
And with that comes symptoms and consequences.
So it's really interesting when I have patients come in for acupuncture and, you know, they have the needles in for 25 minutes, I try to tell them and really drive it home for them. This is your 25 minutes. Now, trying to get them out of their mind and from making the grocery lists and stuff, like, that's the hard part because I can't see that going on, believe it or not. But what ends up happening is that becomes their time. And so when we talk about the you time, the time that you have away, sometimes that doesn't happen.
Right.
And that might be your reset button. So even if it means coming in and having a chance to just relax and chill out for a little bit and take that moment for yourself, it doesn't seem like much in the long run, but it actually is a healthcare treatment in itself.
Yeah, and that's something that I try to tell people. You can't do that once a month. You can't wait till vacation comes in the summer. You really need to budget in those little spaces in your day, even if it's 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, something to you know, give your body a break.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones real quick. Susan from Alexandria, how can we help you?
Yes. I was wondering...
Susan?
Hello?
Yep, I can hear.
Yes. Oh, good, okay.
Okay.
I was wondering... what role, if any, could COPD play in the creation of blood clots or strokes? And then I was wondering about any non-invasive approaches to the treatment of those.
Okay. Well, good question. Big topics. Well, when you look at it, what's interesting is I think when you think of COPD, so this is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it can be something that happens with essentially when you can't get the air in because there's too much mucus in there as well too. And so we see this sometimes as a chronic disease. And obviously, when you think about it, there's an impairment to the respiratory tract, right? We can't get that oxygen in, so it can't get to the blood cells and go around. So one, fatigue is one of the biggest things, getting oxygen around. Fatigue also in the muscles. Like if we're doing any kind of exercise or even normal activities, all of a sudden it makes it very, very difficult. Never mind just breathing itself. That's why a lot of times in more progressive areas, like, or later on, you'll actually see, you know, oxygen being used in there. So clearly if the body's trying to struggle to get oxygen in, it's also going to struggle to get blood flow around so that the nutrients, the tissues, everything can get the proper blood supply. So I would look at it two different ways, but obviously the heart of the blood and the heart has to work to move blood systems around. Like if your breathing is really shallow, usually your heartbeat's going to increase because it's going to try to move blood through the body quicker. If there's issues related to heart disease in there, then we have to be able to address both the lungs and the heart. And when it comes to stroke, what's always interesting is there was a couple of different types of strokes. So when we think about the heart and high blood pressure and all of the cardiovascular diseases that can lead to stroke, because stroke, let's face it, tends to be the big scary thing at the end that everyone wants to avoid. There's a lot of other things that we can do in the meantime to help support the heart and the lungs. So the great way you're kind of looking at this is how does one part of the body, like lungs and the respiratory system, help to affect another part of the body, the neurological system and the heart. So a great way to look at it. A lot of times looking at blood work, looking at also different forms of inflammation, how is the body dealing with stress is a great start. It sounds basic, but it can actually make a lot of changes to begin with. So I would say if you have any of that stuff done, it's great to kind of talk about it. On a natural standpoint, you know, keeping movement going, but want to make sure that we can try to see what helped to develop that, the COPD to begin with, or is there always been an underlying issue with the heart and your blood system, the circulatory system as well. Thank you for your call. Big topics, but I think that's great because women do tend to have a lot of questions about how should I deal with health? How should I move forward with this? And like I said, the research doesn't really always include us. The Women's Health Initiative, I believe, was the one that they looked at the cardiovascular panels and they had to deal with, you know, does giving estrogen basically help heart protective? What does it do and stuff? Again, it's looking at one factor, your hormone level, and one particular hormone level, and the whole scheme of
things. And we see how that worked out, right?
So definitely not from a holistic standpoint of like, let's look at the rest of the body and what is the effect of the outside environment due to our inside environment. So, definitely things to bring up. So we love women asking questions about this because I think that's another thing we haven't talked about. We looked at the research side a little bit, right? But let's think about this. Maybe 50, 60 years ago, how much did physicians talk about women's medicine? They really didn't. It was like the unheard thing. Women, you know, mothers and daughters may not have had that conversation about puberty.
Right.
You know, it wasn't something that got in. I've certainly worked with fertility patients who know nothing about their cycle, so that if they're trying to get pregnant, they don't even know when to try. Some of that information's out more now, thanks to, you know, Dr. Google and the internet and everything. Some of that's not always the correct information.
And depending on what county you live in, my kids go to, are in Fairfax County Public Schools, and they can overshare with information too. So yes, there's not, it's not like it was 50 years ago. There are so many resources to figure this out. But at the end of the day, most women don't know much about their bodies. They really don't. And we should be more educated about everything that goes with being a female. So, I was like, Christiane Northrup, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. Great book to give you just a really good overview of the emotional component to the female body, the holistic component to the female body. I call it the female Bible. Everyone should have it. No, I don't get any money from this. I wish I did for as much as I refer.
Which chapter did you write?
Exactly. I wish. I'm waiting for that call. But yeah, I mean, you're right. A lot of people still don't even understand. You know, I have even moms coming in going, well, my daughter's 16. Is it normal that she hasn't had her cycle? Or they're 9 and they're getting their cycle. So it's just a lot in between.
Right.
In those ages. Yeah.
And information is always changing too.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're getting it, I know as practitioners, you know, we learn so much from patients because really they're almost ahead of they've either done research and they're coming in telling us where to go. And then they're saying, have you seen this book and that book? And it's hard to see them all.
Yep.
There's a lot out there, but what we learn from one patient is really what we can actually apply for another patient as well too. So it's a great learning tool. And so you're really part of the team really. I think one of the amazing things too is when I was in medical school, you know, bioidentical hormones was not what it was. Like Suzanne Summer's book had not come out yet,
right,
or had just come out. And so people were not really sure about what was going on. There wasn't information for practitioners to learn about it. You know, we had to kind of go on our own. And I've talked to Sue Roselle as well, too. At the beginning, it was trying to talk to some of these companies that were putting out lab testing to figure out how the heck do I apply this to my patient, because that information was so new. And so when it comes to that, then you're actually talking to the patients that are coming in saying, this is my experience with it. That has so much extra weight that you're going to be able to help everyone else as well, too. It's kind of becomes like a little bit of a support system. And maybe that's why women do so well in certain support systems, because they feel like they're being heard. And it's much more of a holistic way of looking at things, saying, I'm not the only one out there. And especially in a lot of cases where that might be their you time, their 25 minutes to relax, they can share that with somebody else as well, too. Definitely a topic we're going to keep on talking on the Dr. Tom Roselle Live Show. If you have any questions or anything, feel free. We're still here. We'll take your calls at 888-630-9625. One of the things I think is interesting too, where Dr. Jen, I have Dr. Jen here. It's been so long since she's been here. You have to go to the YouTube channel, Dr. Tom Roselle Live's, YouTube channel, right? And cause we were trying to figure out how long it's been.
It's been it's been easily over 5 years.
Right.
Right.
So if you go to the YouTube channel and put in Dr. Tom Roselle Live, and you can actually search for past
programs,
mm-hmm. Going back quite a bit. And we did one on natural health and natural pregnancy. We did an in-house with it. I remember this because I was going, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about? Dr. Jen knows all about the pregnancy part and the kids part. And what am I going to bring to this? This is the Chinese medicine part. But what I think is interesting is looking at that next generation, because you're seeing them as youngsters coming in, too. How is it affecting them?
It's affecting me in that I'm feeling old, because this is 17 years in practice for me. So it's like I've saw the kids, and now they're married, and now they're bringing me their babies. So it's pretty cool, actually, just as a side note. I mean, fertility is a huge issue. I mean, that in itself is its own whole can of worms. I guess we're going to a break here. But fertility, healthy babies, healthy kids. I would say these last 5 years, I've seen the most sickest kids I have ever seen in practice. Their immune systems are not working well. They're exposed to a lot of toxins. So it's a lot.
All right. We're going to be back to follow up, and we're talking about women's medicine and the concerns it brings. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. We are live in studio. This is Dr. Jennifer Sims and Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're filling in for Dr. Roselle, who once again is out in the world teaching, I believe. I don't think he's on vacation this time, but I think he's out there teaching. Probably trying to do the radio show on the road, but probably would have a hard time fitting everything in the car and be driving down the freeway, and he'd probably be like trying to answer questions. I can see this happening.
I can totally see that happening,
yeah,
too.
He'd be like, let me just put my headset on, but that doesn't work well with like the convertible and, you know, or the rain or anything else. So we'll fill in for him for a little while. It's been a fun girls talk,
yeah,
as we've gone back and forth. So I couldn't do it with anyone else who's better than this than Dr. Jen. So, tell me, kind of going into our topics again with women's medicine and some of the challenges that we have in here, tell me what you think is, you were mentioning kind of what you're thinking for the future for the next generation, how fertility is an issue, how people are kind of, our kids are coming in sicker than they have been before. Do we see things that, whether it's in research or what we've seen in practice, that kind of gives a little hope for the future as well, too, especially for women's medicine?
I think the fact that we do have a swelling of people asking questions, I think that it's really refreshing to see women saying, you know what, I don't agree with this. I'd like to do this differently. Changing the mindset is really what's going to help medicine grow, because we're always going to have drugs, vitamins, care. You're always going to have doctors available to take care of you. Or to support you in this journey. But unless, unless people keep asking questions and keep kind of challenging the status quo, which I do see happening, which I think is fantastic. I come in, you know, these moms are armed with so much information. Women, I read about this, or I took a class about this, and can you help me with this? Versus that old model of you going into the doctor's office and saying, fix me, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think that there's hope in that aspect. And other aspects, I am concerned. I do think that we've become a very pill-popping society, and unfortunately we've extrapolated that to our kids, and it's not working. I'm here to tell you it's not working. They're not healthier. Giving babies steroids too early, multiple vaccines. I can go on and on and on about all of the things that our kids are being exposed to way too early that we don't have the research on to see, which we will at some point, and at some point we'll probably be still having this conversation.
We'll be looking back.
Like, yep. We knew that this was bad 20 years ago, but now we have the data to support it. But what about all those kids who are sick? So I say keep asking questions, keep getting educated, and I do think that's what's going to bring about a universal change in our healthcare system.
Yeah, I agree. I think the communication aspect of it, and it's the communications with the women and their practitioners, mm-hmm. not the questioning, and not even questioning like from a negative standpoint, but it's positive as well too, because they're questioning, why did this not work before when, you know, my friend, it worked for them. Or they're saying, why can't we try this? Or can we look for another alternative? I think we see that coming in. I mean, unfortunately, when women come to us, sometimes we're not the first person they go to. We're typically some of the last people that they go to. Because how could we possibly, if we're looking at how you sleep and how you eat, how scientifically advanced is that compared to all these other lab tests and everything else as well too, the medications? What I think also is very, very interesting is we see more and more women coming to the in-house lectures. And so they're really there to get their information and determine, is this something that I want to start making as part of my change? Because even if you're recognizing something's just not quite right, even though it looks normal on a lab exam, normal in the books and everyone else's experience, it does not mean it's just right. And so that means having to give yourself that time and that space to become healthier, learn about health. Health isn't just the absence of symptoms. It needs to be more than that. We have to look at it from a mental, emotional standpoint too. And we've gone into how that aspect of stress and health doesn't seem to be the one addressed the most, or it's overlooked and stuff too. So hopefully everybody really enjoyed today's lecture. I think Dr. Rizal is back next week. I haven't been given the cue to come in yet, so that's a good thing. Dr. Jennifer Sims can be found at Blue Sky Health and Wellness. Happy to see you there as well too. Thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It's been fun. We'll definitely have to do it again. And for now, hope everybody has a good weekend, and we'll see you back next week.